you very much, Mr. Johnson. Welcome to our guests and anyone joining us online. Well, as many of you know, last year our daughter Haley's was our daughter Haley's first year going to Camp Arrowhead. Eric and I were confident that Haley would have a great time, but we wondered, especially with it being her first time at camp, if I should go also. After a bit of discussion, Erica and I agreed that it would be a good idea. Unfortunately, it turns out I'm much too old for preteen camp. So I had to go as staff. It's not as much fun, but it did work out. Last year, I was assigned to head up the swimming activity. In all the years I've worked at teen and preteen camps, I've never worked on swimming before. It was a brand new experience. Well, this year I have swimming again. And now that I have some experience, I'm feeling a little more comfortable about my assignment. But this year, thanks to a man who calls himself a friend of mine, I have another new assignment. This year, I get to teach Christian living. Now, because I've never done a Christian living class before, I want to make sure that I do a good job. So I'm going to practice on all of you. Now, during Christian living, you need to get the kids involved. You need to ask them questions. So I'll just tell you right now that this is not going to be as interactive as a normal Christian living class. When you ask questions to preteens, especially the youngest ones, you can get all kinds of answers, and they can get off topic pretty quick. But I'm not going to have you answer any questions for me today, because I'm afraid that with this crowd, it might be worse. Now, all joking aside, while this is the topic of a preteen Christian living class, I believe that what we're going to look at today is relevant for all of us. So here we go. As you may know or may not know, the theme for the Kagwa Youth Camps this year is Mapping Your Future. And I brought a couple visual aids. All right, this is a map. It's a map that shows the route between my home and Camp Arrowhead. Now, I know you can't really see it, but I'll give you the highlights of the route. We drive south on Route 94 for 10 miles. Then we drive west on Route 18 for 4 miles. Next, we head south on Route 21 for 18 and a half miles. We drive west on Arcadia Street for almost 2 miles. And then we head south on Deerfield Avenue for about 4.5 miles to arrive at camp. The trip is a total of 40.8 miles and takes 49 minutes. But there's something about this map. I don't like it. It takes too long. It's too many miles, and there are too many turns. I don't like it. I've got a better idea. Here's another map. It still has my house on it, and it still has the location of camp. But I want a shorter route, a straight line, a less windy route. So I'm just going to drive on this straight line from my house to Camp Arrowhead. That route cuts off more than 8 miles. And if I drive the same average speed as the route that Google Maps gave me, we'll get to camp in just 27 minutes. That's a lot faster. So why wouldn't I follow this map? What could possibly go wrong? Well, please turn to 1 Kings chapter 12, and we'll begin in verse 1. We'll take a few minutes to look at King David's grandson. Now, early, it seems, in his reign, in the reign of Rehoboam, he was confronted with a choice. There was a problem, and he needed to figure out how to resolve it. He was given two maps, if you will, and he had to decide which one to follow. 1 Kings 12 and verse 1, and Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. So it happened when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard it. He was still in Egypt, for he had fled from the presence of King Solomon and had been dwelling in Egypt, that they sent and called him. Then Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, "Your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you." So he said to them, "Depart for 3 days, then come back to me." And the people departed. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father, Solomon, while he was still alive. And he said, "How do you advise me to answer these people?" And they spoke to him, saying, "If you will be a servant to these people today and serve them, and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever." But he rejected the advice of the elders, which the elders had given him, and consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. And he said to them, "What advice do you give me? How should we answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, 'Lighten the yoke which your father put on us'?" Verse 10. Then the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, "Thus you should speak to this people who have spoken to you, saying, 'Your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us.' Thus you shall say to them, 'My little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges.'" Now let's jump down to verse 16. The representatives from Israel come back when the 3 days are over, and Rehoboam follows the advice of the young men. He lets them have it. "If you think my dad was tough, just wait until I get done with you." What could possibly go wrong? 1 Kings 12 and verse 16. "Now when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, saying, 'What share have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to your own house, O David.' So Israel departed to their tents. But Rehoboam reigned over the children of Israel who dwelt in the cities of Judah. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was in charge of the revenue. But all Israel stoned him with stones, and he died. Therefore King Rehoboam mounted his chariot in haste to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day." Rehoboam had two options, two routes, two maps to choose from. And the map he chose led to disaster. 10 tribes split off from Judah, and Rehoboam was left with only 2. And they're still split from Judah today. How did Rehoboam make such a colossal error in judgment? Today, let's look at what went wrong for Rehoboam, and what we need to do to make good choices in our lives. To do that, let's start with a few proverbs. First, let's read Proverbs 11 and verse 14. Now we're going to read three short proverbs and then look at how they apply to Rehoboam's situation. So Proverbs 11 and verse 14. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Next, let's go to Proverbs 15 and verse 22. Just a couple pages over. Proverbs 15 and verse 22, without counsel, plans go awry, but in a multitude of counselors they are established. And now Proverbs 24 and verse 6. This is the last of these three Proverbs. Proverbs 24 and verse 6 says, "For by wise counsel you shall wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety." Rehoboam got a multitude of counselors, didn't he? So why did his plans go awry? Why wasn't there safety for Rehoboam? The first point is simple. Maps show you the way to go. They don't make you go that way. Maps show you the way to go. They don't make you go that way. Turn to Joshua chapter 24 and verses 14 and 15. I'll tell you a story about my brother. For several years, my brother and I went to the Feast of Tabernacles together. And for almost all of those feasts, we drove. And this was in the days before everyone had GPS on their phones. Back then, which is a phrase that officially makes you old, but back then, we went down to the AAA office. We got some maps, and we got a thing called a triptych. Now, for the not old people who don't know what that is, a triptych was a bunch of pieces of paper that were bound together into a little book or pamphlet. And on each page showed a portion, there was a portion of the route between your starting point and your destination. And it had instructions on all the turns you would need to make along the way. Back in those days, my brother had a pretty bad sense of direction. So I usually tried to give him the easier stretches when it was his turn to drive. Well, one year, I let my brother take the first turn at driving on the trip to Jekyll Island. And he missed a turn twice before we even got out of town. Now, he did know how to get out of town, and we did have our maps. But maps only show you the way. They don't make you go the way. Joshua 24 and verse 14. "Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. Serve God. Follow him." That's the map. That's the good map. Verse 15, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day from whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Rehoboam was given the map, but he didn't choose to follow it. Now, of course, Rehoboam wasn't given an actual map. What Rehoboam was given was advice. He was given counsel. And that's what a map is. It's advice. A map is counsel. But Rehoboam had some good advice. And he had some bad advice. He had a good map. And he had a bad map. Those three proverbs we read tell us to get a multitude of counselors. And in that, there's safety. But in a multitude of counselors, you'll find, in a multitude of counselors, you will find a good map. But why a multitude? If the first guy you talk to gives you a good map, why bother looking for any others? Well, the reason for getting a multitude of counselors when we need advice is in the last proverb we read, Proverbs 24 and verse 6. I'll read it again. Proverbs 24 and verse 6 says, "For by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety." Making the right turns requires good advice. A good map doesn't come from every counselor. It comes from the wise counselors. And a reason to get a multitude of counselors is so we can be sure we've got some good ones in there. Rehoboam's problem wasn't that he didn't get a multitude of counselors. It wasn't that he didn't get good advice. It was that he didn't know which advice was good and which advice was bad. He couldn't see why the good map was right, and he couldn't see why the bad map was wrong. So for the rest of the time, let's identify some ways that we can tell the difference between a good counselor and a bad counselor. Please turn to Proverbs 12 and verse 15. We'll look at some warning signs of bad counselors, and then we'll contrast those with the signs of good counselors. Proverbs 12 and verse 15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." Turn over to Proverbs 16 and verse 25. Proverbs 16 and verse 25 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Just because advice sounds good to you or sounds good to me doesn't mean it is good. There's a map that looks like a good way to go to me. This one. But it actually leads to disaster, just like it did to Rehoboam. Please turn to Matthew chapter 20, and verses 25 through 28. Rehoboam has two sets of counselors. The first set told him, "If you will be a servant to these people today and serve them, and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. The second set of counselors said, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 25. But Jesus called them, his disciples, to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. One set of counselors gave advice that sounded a lot like what Jesus said to do. And the other counselors gave advice that sounds a lot like what Jesus Christ said not to do. So what should we be looking for in our counselors? Turn to Psalm 119 and verse 105. The advice that Rehoboam got from the young counselors sounded right to him, but it split apart his kingdom. Why? Because it wasn't in line with the good map. Psalm 119 and verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How do we tell the difference between a good counselor and a bad one? A good counselor gives directions that match with what God says. A good counselor gives directions that match with what God says. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. And we'll read verses 15 through 20. Now, checking to make sure that the advice goes in the right direction is a good first step. Unfortunately, sometimes people know what's the right thing to say, but they don't really follow those directions themselves. Both of these maps look like they show the way to camp, but looks can be deceiving. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. They sure look like good counselors, but they aren't. So how can you tell the difference? Verse 16. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear good or bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. When Satan was tempting Jesus Christ, he quoted the Bible. He gave directions that came from the Bible. But where is Satan? Is he with God and the righteous angels? Are the angels who followed his advice with God? Or were they all thrown out of heaven like lightning? Satan quoted the Bible, But he was using it to try to send Jesus in the wrong direction. Point number three, a good counselor has good fruit. A good counselor has good fruit. Turn to James chapter 3 in verses 7 through 17. Now, if you want to lose weight and get in shape, should you listen to the trainer who is lean and muscly? Or should you listen to the trainer who can run 5 miles? Or should you listen to the tubby guy who spends his time on the couch watching TV and eating pretzels all day and can't walk to the mailbox without stopping for a break? James 3 in verse 7. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no one can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Unfortunately, even though we know the right way to go, sometimes we choose the wrong way. My kids know it's wrong to lie. But when one of my kids pushes one of the others and makes them cry, when I ask them what happens, sometimes they don't tell the truth because they don't want to get in trouble. And sometimes adults who know and want to do the right thing, because they don't want to get in trouble either, tell a lie. It shouldn't be that way, but we're not perfect. Not yet. Verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. How do you tell the difference between a counselor who has made a mistake and a counselor who gives bad directions all the time? You know by their fruits. Verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. That's the kind of advice that Satan gave to Jesus Christ. And those are the directions Satan followed when he tried to overthrow God. But it didn't work out very well for Satan, did it? Verse 16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Rehoboam's first counselors gave him advice to look out for other people. Rehoboam's second counselors advised him to get for himself. Good counselors have the fruits of verse 17. Bad counselors, even if their advice might sound good at first, have the fruits of verse 16. Let's go to Job 12 and verse 12 for the next sign of a good counselor. How were Rehoboam's two sets of counselors described? First, there were the elders who stood before his father Solomon. Second were the young men who had grown up with him. Proverbs 12 and verse 12 says, "Wisdom is with aged men, and with length of days, understanding." Rehoboam wanted to listen to the guys who were his age, but he should have listened to the counselors who were older than him. Now, for some of us, finding older counselors is going to be a bit difficult. So, we'll word it a little differently. Number four, good counselors have been there before. Good counselors have been there before. Just because someone is older doesn't automatically make them a good counselor. Sadly, there are lots of people who, because they have other traits, make them terrible counselors. But, or because they didn't follow the previous traits, it makes them terrible counselors. But if you get lost in the woods, I'll ask you this question: who would you rather run into? A little kid who just wandered in there for the first time? Or a park ranger who's been walking those woods for years? Turn to John chapter 4 and verses 1 through 6. Sorry, John chapter 14. You get a very different lesson in John chapter 4. Now, there was a time when nobody had GPS. Most of us can remember that. There are some people in the room who have no idea what that's like. They've never had to get out a map and find their way. And even for those of us who are familiar with using paper maps, there was a time when none of those maps existed. Explorers set sail across the sea. They headed off into the woods without a map. They knew how to sail, or they knew how to get through the woods, but they were heading somewhere that no one had ever been before. They didn't know what would be around the next turn, and they didn't know what they would find at the end of their journey. Fortunately for us, we don't have to charge into the woods without any directions. John 14 and verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The good counselors have been there before. They've walked through those woods. They know the way, and they have a map that shows which directions to follow. If you want to have a good life, if you want to have eternal life, listen to the counselors who know the way. follow the directions of someone with experience. Turn to Proverbs 27 and verse 6 for one last sign of a good counselor. Now, it's interesting. When Rehoboam asked the elders, they said, "Give them a break. Be nice. Help them, and they'll help you." But it says in 1 Kings 12 and verse 8, and again in the account in 2 Chronicles, that Rehoboam rejected the advice of the elders before he ever asked his buddies what they thought he should do. Rehoboam didn't ask for a multitude of counselors and then make his decision. He already knew what he wanted to hear and chose to follow the directions that matched what he already wanted to do. Proverbs 27 and verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Point number 5. Good counselors will give you the advice that you need, even when they know it's not the advice that you want. Good counselors will give you the advice that you need, even though they know it's not the advice that you want. A friend doesn't give advice that hurts because they want you to feel bad. They do it because they don't want you to get hurt worse, because you followed the wrong road. When someone tells you you're doing good, when they know it's wrong, they're not being a friend. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 5 through 10. Now, we could stay in Proverbs, because that's where these first couple of verses come from. But in Hebrews, we don't just get the wisdom from Proverbs. We also get the why behind it. Here, we get to see the end of the road. Hebrews 12 and verse 5. "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons." That's the destination. Children of God, eternal life. "For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons." Staying silent when someone goes speeding down the wrong road isn't being a friend. It isn't being a good counselor. And it isn't love. Verse 9. "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he, God, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness." I'm not a kid anymore. I'm an adult. But to this day, if I'm wrong, I trust that my father will tell me. If I'm being stupid, I trust that my father will tell me. Why? Because that's what I need to hear. And because my father loves me. Parents discipline their children when they break the rules because the rules are there to protect them. Eating 10 pieces of cake sound like fun, but it's not good for you. Being punished for telling a lie doesn't feel good, but the consequences of being a liar are much worse. Parents give their children the directions they need, not the directions they want. The same goes for God, and the same goes for all good counselors. I've got two maps. One is longer and slower, and it's full of twists and turns. The other map is straighter and shorter, and sure sounds like a good option. So why shouldn't I follow this map? What could possibly go wrong? Well, thanks to Google Maps, I can zoom in on this route. And I can see that if I follow this map, I just have to drive through lots of people's yards. I have to drive across some farms and over a ton of trees. I have to drive through several houses. And at one point, there's an apartment complex of 8 buildings, but I will only have to drive through 4 of them. I do have to drive through one canal, but I managed to just barely miss a few swimming pools and a decent-sized lake. Oh, and I have to drive across Interstates 271 and 76. If I follow the directions of the first map, I get to stay on the roads the whole way. And I don't have to destroy people's homes and my car. To have a good life, to have eternal life, we need to be able to identify good counselors and tell them apart from the bad ones. We need to be able to tell the difference between a good map and a bad one. And once you have a good map, you need to follow it. Then, in a multitude of counselors, there is safety.